Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show, produced by Ever Beyond Radio and broadcast on Wolf Spirit Radio on the first and third Sundays of the month at 7 p.m. UK time. Simon actively encourages you to join the conversation by using the Ask Question menu link at the top of the page at wowwowwow.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. Please come early to ask your questions. Now, on with the show. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Yes,
hello,
indeed.
JP.
Hey, Simon, you're here. Bless your heart.
Yes.
So you've been stressing through. Tell us all about what happened, because, you know, people have been waiting here for 2 hours, waiting for your very first breath, and I will not get in the way anymore.
Right. Went out today to do one of my favorite things, which is collect fossils, and literally something like 12 minutes away from getting back home, and the police had completely blocked the road off and pushed everyone onto a detour. Now, in most areas, that doesn't really matter, because you go a mile or something and you can get back on. But in where I live, that just isn't the case. It's such a isolated community. So the detour was in excess of 1.5 hours. So, you know, there was nothing I could do in the end, and there was no signal. So I tried to get a message through, no signal whatsoever. So I had to get, wait till there was a signal, which was on top of a hill, and then sort of message people and get a message to you. So that was that. So the show is obviously very truncated, and I'm really, really sorry about that. So we're just going to do from 9 to 9:30. I will give the update. And we'll take a few little questions. Why not? But I just want to say that I don't know that this was totally accidental. The reason I'm saying that is that this weekend just gone, just a couple of days ago, I was driving and I got a warning light on my car saying, oh, you know, brake fluids a bit low, you need to top up your brake fluid. So I thought, oh, that's all right, that's not a problem, and stopped. But the car I've got, you can't do it, you have to go to a garage. And I thought, well, it's still okay, just needs topping up. And I was driving toward the garage, I noticed the brakes were becoming less and less and less effective, to the point that it was very serious. And I thought, I don't understand what's going on here. And literally, luckily, it was about 8 o'clock in the evening, so there were very few cars at that time. And I was just coming up to the last junction, and I put my foot on the brake, and nothing happened. And then on the brake, further and further. And I'm reasonably a sort of a calm guy. You know, when you've seen some of the things that I've seen, then it does take rather a lot to, you know, put you over the edge. And I thought, as I press the brake right down to the floor, well, I've not stopped yet, but there's chance that I will. And I did actually stop in time. Anyway, I got to the garage and they said, your brake cables, both of them have failed. And there was no brake fluid left. How you've got here in one piece, we really don't know, because there was a zero brake fluid and both have gone. So I immediately said to them, have these cables been cut? Or are they corroded? And I said, can I see them, please? So they did keep them, and they showed me, and they said, look, it looks corroded to us. But they professionally said, the fact that both have gone immediately, catastrophic failure at the same time, is very unusual. So I didn't get a warning light saying, you know, there's a bit of a problem. I got a warning light saying, there is a problem, you know, you've got no brakes. So, I just want to tell people that, you know, people who donate to me, I've had to use, quite a bit of my donation money to repair the car. The car cost £480. to repair. I've got to be mobile. I've got to have it done. So I've used the donation money, or a big chunk of the donation money that people have given me to keep the car on the road. So I don't know whether this is just wear and tear or whether there's something a bit more to it. The guys in the garage think it was just ordinary corrosion, but they are surprised that both went exactly at the same time. You know, you would expect one to go and then maybe a month later the other one, but to go instantly at the same time, that somewhat suspicious. So when, you know, the police were turning back and I thought, oh, this is just ridiculous today. So I was determined to do half an hour. I'm really tired, but I am determined to do half an hour. I owe it to the audience. I'm not going to be stopped. All right, so I want to do some other updates now. First of all, it's relatively quiet. This is amazing, and many of you who are psychic and gifted will feel it. I'm not saying there's not stuff going on, but that hiatus, that mountain peak, that we've roller coaster ride that we've seemed to have been on for months, that has actually gently eased off a little bit. And I'd have talked about the lull before the storm. What we have noticed, I'm sure people have noticed, is a reduction in many parts of Great Britain of the chemtrailing. And I think also in the States, not stopped, it's reduced again. The reason for that is that the guy, I suppose that's the right term for him, the guy who in charge of that particular portion of the black budget, where the money is stolen off us, taxpayers, us ordinary people, and then used for these purposes that they don't disclose, each department head signs off, and the one in charge of the chemtrailing resigned. So it's a vacant position. Now, about a year ago or so, we had another gap in the same place, and then there were very few chemtrails for about 3 months. And then they reappointed. Now, what's happened is we've got a vacancy, in the sense that we're looking at it and thinking, well, someone's just walked out. That's amazing. Why they've walked out, I've got no information. But you will see a reduction in chemtrailing. It won't stop, but there'll be a reduction. HAARP is still banging on. I did actually post on my website an important piece of news regarding, in Great Britain, one of the largest construction firms in Great Britain. It's called Carillion, and they have most of the British Army's contracts to maintain their military bases, mainly in Great Britain. They also have a government contract to build highways, the freeways, all of the main roads. And they have contracts with hospitals and schools. They originally started off as house builders. In 3 days, their share value dropped by 70%. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before. 70%. Now, they employ 50,000 people in Great Britain. Now, for Britain, that's a really big employer. There's a real desperate scramble to save this company from going bust, because if they go bust, the knock-on effect is huge. The reason that I've made a post about this, yes, of course we care about those people who are potentially going to lose their jobs, but the message is that the economy is much more fragile than the elite are trying to talk up. So everyone's talking about how well the economy's doing, and this is doing well and that's doing well. It's just lies. You know, and here's the evidence for it. A multi-billion pound company on its knees, nearly gone down the pan, 70% lost on its shares in 3 days. So this is what's happening. We've got banks that are saying they're fine when they're not. We've got a government department saying that the public finances are okay when they're not. We've got private companies saying that everything's all right when it's not. And yet, when you all ask ordinary people, you know, like ourselves on the street, we can see how it's wrong. I look round Great Britain and I see the poverty. I see that so many people are just surviving from day to day. I don't mean they're penniless. There are people like that, of course, but the days when we would have had a few bit of extra pounds, they're not there anymore. And you know, people are seeing the lies. They're seeing the elite talking up everything's great, and the adverts are still on television, and the TV shows are still going out. But the reality is people are being heavily squeezed, and people are not stupid. And they're seeing, I think, through the lies. So, yes, we've got a lull in terms of any terrorist activity, in terms of any false flag activity. But we have had the Pope recently, remember, calling for the New World Order. We have seen at least two members of the Pope's close entourage arrested for sexual offences, but we don't really know what those are. So there is stuff going on, but in terms of the mind-grabbing, the television grabbing news, that at the moment is calm, and I think we should be thankful that we've got some breathing space. I certainly am. So we've just got to hang on. I've always given the date of sort of October as the time for the next bit of issues. So there's still stuff going on, but I think we can sort of just grab a bit of a breath. So that's where we are with that. So that's my own personal news and the news and news on the land. The other thing is that people have been asking me to perhaps give an opinion on the situation between Corey Good and the Dark Journalist, Bill Ryan, and others. And I say that I won't be drawn. I don't really want to get involved in it. I note that somebody that I have a great deal of respect for, which is Linda Moulton Howe, who actually, a few years back, came over to Britain and worked with Wynne Keach to do some research into the Rendlesham UFO incident. So Wynne Keach worked with Linda Moulton Howe and did some very, very useful research on the Black Triangle grey alien craft that was at Rendlesham. And I indeed, Linda very kindly sort of wanted to interview me. We did a 2-hour interview on the telephone, which I did, and I was very happy to do that with her. So I've got a great deal of respect. Now, she's sort of come into the fray a little bit, so I really don't want to get involved in that. So apart from that, you know, and the fact that I'm sort of relieved to be back, I'm ticking along. So I guess we could do a few questions, JP, if you'd like.
Well, I'm, on behalf of everybody, we're all glad that you're here and back in one place. And the thing that you were saying about the brakes, is the thing that came to my mind is that a corrosion accelerant may have been applied.
Right.
And if it was sulfuric acid, oh, hang on, it's steel, isn't it? It'll be iron. So, yeah, I mean, it might look just like a rusty thing, but it's to any regular mechanic.
It's okay. I wasn't going to say anything, but I've had some people look into it for me. I don't mean scientifically. I mean, you know, in our way of looking forward into it. And I've been told that what's coming back is that something was painted. It's really interesting you say that. The messages that are getting back are that something was painted, not sprayed, but painted onto them.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah, so that's what I'm being told. So why is it happening now? The reason it's happening now is because Wynne Keach is in another country at the moment talking about FairX, talking to some people who are in a position to make it happen. And I think that the attacks that many of us are getting at the moment are related to, you know, things that are happening on the planet. And in my case, then we stand on the pinnacle of making some very big changes. And this week just gone was a pivotal week. So I take heart from the fact that the guys in the garage, the mechanics, said to me, well, you know, how did you get here, basically? Because they couldn't understand why the car hadn't, like, gone off and struck something else. Not saying I would have been seriously injured, but they just couldn't understand how the car, I kept the car on the road. And, you know, that is the thing that I've always, I've never taken for granted. And I've always been very grateful that there is something or someone that, you know, when it comes, push comes to shove and things get very serious, then there is something that helps me out a little bit. So yeah, I don't want to give it too much energy, but you know, there is the possibility that this was not just accidental.
Indeed. So now, how would you like to go out to the solar system? That'd be a nice and easy from a distance kind of thing from the everyday nightmare of living on planet Earth. Hi, JP and Simon. My question is, I know the textbooks and info in schools about our planets and surrounding stars are not as accurate as you know, or aren't accurate at all. Are there any books, or is there a place we can go to find out the truth of the planets, their creation, and the truth of the civilizations on those planets? I don't appreciate Pluto being demoted in status, and neither does my five-year-old son. Do I keep teaching him from the doctored texts, or can you point me in the direction of the truth of the planets? Please, my son wants the truth. He doesn't believe the books and television shows because I tell him Simon knows the truth and Daddy will find out. Can you please, no pressure at all, can you help us uncover the truth of our planet and our stars?
Right. First of all, you won't find the truth on any establishment show of any sort or any learned astrological book or university book, because they are all instructed to follow a particular line. You know, there's this the guy who was quite popular who's been promoting the stars at night and it's just all nonsense. The difficulty we get, excuse me, is that the real records have all been seized. The Vatican actually took most of them. You think about the record library at Alexandria. There was another record library under the Sphinx in Giza. There was a third library, I can't remember where that is at the moment, it'll come back to me. But they've all been seized by the Vatican because they contained not just the true story of Earth, but of the solar system and that around it, because they were not likely to let you know about the truth about Pluto or the truth about the moon, because as soon as you discover that there's a crack in their armor, then you would then obviously expand that and get to the real truth. So all of those records are held, and we are waiting for the day when these very vile people will, you know, either be forced or out of their own decision will release this information to the public so that we can truly understand what humanity is and truly understand where we all came from. And instead of all crawling on the floor crying, we are, I hope, evolved enough and adult and grown up enough to say, right, well, at least we have the truth now. You know, somebody once said to me, what would you rather be, kissed all over with lies or slapped around the face with the truth? And I would rather be slapped around the face with the truth. So the only thing that I think for your son is that if you were perhaps to ask him what his, I don't know, top three questions are, and why don't you email me, simonparks3@btopenworld.com, and I would be delighted to just reply back on an email just to answer the questions, because I won't be able to answer the questions that I'm sure your son will have about all of the planets and all the solar systems, but if he has three top questions, I'll do my very best to answer those. So no, there isn't a truthful record available at the moment to the public. That is, like everything else, has been sequestered by very evil people who think they're better than the rest of us. Thank you for the question.
Gender and reptilians. Can you explain more about reptilians with no gender at all?
Right. It really depends on the faction and the group. There are male reptilians and there are female reptilians, and there are indeed, there's the term androgynous, there are indeed beings, not just reptilians, like some of the greys, which are neither male nor female. Indeed, some of the Aldebaran or Aldebaran group look male and female. So it's not unusual off this planet to have a number of beings that aren't gender specific, or indeed are both. It's you know, it's not that unusual. So in the Draconis culture, then there are males and females. In the reptilian group that are native to the Earth and live underground but live separately from any other grouping, they are male and female. But there are some reptilian from outside of this solar system that are neither male nor female. So you pay your money and you take your choice. But this planet has been heavily influenced by Draconis reptilian, hence the propensity on this planet for males to be dominant in the human culture, because males are dominant in the reptilian culture that has interacted on Earth, and therefore those values were given to the ruling kings and queens or princes on this planet, and they were not so much told, but they wanted to aspire to the reptilian system because they believed it was the royal way to do it. And I have obviously said before that if you look at the ancient Egyptian culture, the Babylonian culture, the Sumerian culture, all of these cultures, you could only father a future king or queen if you made either your sister pregnant or your half-sister. So that was the only way that those cultures could bring forth kings and queens, and that's exactly replicated by the Draconis reptilians. You know, the Enlil and Enki spent most of their time trying to make half-sisters pregnant because that was the way to secure the future for the kingdom through your own line. So this is what sort of somewhat bemuses me when you get these supposedly academics and you ask them, well, why would the ancient Egyptians do something like that when today this is in this country and in most European countries is illegal? You know, where did they get that idea from? You know, I thought inbreeding was, you know, outlawed, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, these people can't really answer it. But that is why so much of our culture is influenced by reptilians who are very strongly patriarchal. That's not to say that female Draconis didn't have a run in the matter. What would happen is that the king, the emperor, whatever you want to call him, would do whatever he needed to do, and then he would withdraw from the public, and then the queen would then come round and say to him, well, you know, we could do this, we could do that, and then he would compromise. Now, I'm not saying that in Draconis cultures the queens are the power behind the throne, but what I am saying is that in the public side, in the ceremony, the culture and the ritual, then it was always the male, but outside of the gaze of the extended family of the reptilian culture, the army, the hangers-on, etc., the female exerted a great deal of influence. So it's a really good question. Thank you.
Simon, this is about Stanley Kubrick. Did he really try to give hints in his movies, and was he really killed for making Eyes Wide Shut? Is it real that the movie was altered after Stanley's death? Thank you for all you do. From Martin.
Ah, thank you, Martin. Very sadly, yes. It's difficult because humans did not go to the moon in 1969 as portrayed, but they did go to the moon, but not as portrayed. Before 1963, before 62 and 61, there were key periods, 61, 62, 63, when JFK had been pushing for the first man to go to the moon, because not because he wanted a space race, but because he like President Trump, he wanted America to be great. You know, there's nothing wrong in if you are elected to make your people and your country great. I don't see anything wrong in that at all. Else why the heck are they electing you? So you've got to go back to the late 50s to see the drive to go to the moon. And it really kicked off once the Americans had developed the German V2 rockets. Once the Americans had a active working rocket, maybe 10 times, 20 times more powerful than the ones the Germans used, they then had an image to sell to the public. So if you've got a rocket that's 30 feet tall, you can't say to the public that's going to go to the moon, because even the most uneducated person will scratch their head and say, well, you know, how could that, you know, get to New York, never mind the moon. But if you've got something that's 100 feet tall and as big as a redwood tree or as big as an old oak tree and seems to make a lot of smoke and a lot of fire when it launches, then you've got an image that maybe, just maybe, you can convince people that this thing can go to the moon. Now, they didn't go to the moon. There were only two tracking stations in the world in 1969 that could follow anything that left the Earth and go to the moon. One was in America and one was in our own country here in Great Britain, at Jodrell Bank. And I have said before, what happened at Jodrell Bank in 1969 was the National Security Agency, not the CIA, it was the NSA, came in and took over Great Britain's only major telemetry tracking station, and all the other British technicians were sent home. And for the duration of that wonderful landing on the moon, the Americans controlled Jodrell Bank. And the reason they did that was because had British people been operating, they would have probably felt they needed to go to the public and say, well, we've tracked the rocket that's launched from, was it Kennedy or Cape Canaveral? I can't remember now, but we've tracked it.
It was Cape Kennedy then, and it's Cape now Canaveral.
That's why I'm getting confused. Thanks, JP. And it's just gone round in orbit, because that's what happened in 1969. The rocket, it did not go to the moon. It stayed in orbit. And then it just splashed down. And so Jodrell Bank would have tracked that, and any British person, technician, would probably have leaked that information out to the public. So that's why the Americans came in and took it over, and the British government allowed it, because they were all in on it. So when Kubrick was employed to do what he did, and he was employed because when he made the film with Peter Sellers in it, I think it's a pretty long film, How I Started to Learn to Love the Bomb. I can't remember quite. It was a very long-winded title.
Doctor Strangelove.
Doctor Strangelove. That's the shortened version. But it's Doctor Strangelove, and then it says...
How I Learned to Love the Bomb.
Yeah, that's it. Which I think was early 60s. What happened, it's not widely known this, is that Stanley Kubrick wrote to Strategic Air Command, SAC, in America, and said, my film revolves around a jet bomber that's going to drop a nuclear bomb. Would you please, very kindly, let me come in with my camera or at least a notebook so that I can see what it's like in a jet bomber, so that I can recreate this jet bomber and it looks a bit realistic. And of course, Strategic Air Command said, as we would say in Great Britain, on your bike. In other words, no way, you're not going anywhere near our nuclear bomber fleet. So anyway, they monitored it very closely. And of course, the film came out and Strategic Air Command were absolutely shocked at how accurate Stanley Kubrick's mock-up of their bomber was. They immediately went to the CIA and the NSA, and they pulled in Kubrick and said, how in God's name have you been able to recreate this, even to the point where the artificial horizon, this isn't widely known, the artificial horizon was in the right place on the control panel. So they were so impressed with the visuals and his technical ability, that they said to him, could you mock up moonshots? To which he said yes. So he created all of the backdrop, all of the moonshots, and they combined, making 2001 A Space Odyssey, which was what, 1968? I think something just before the moonshot. He created that with multi-million dollars from NASA, black project money, and he used it for two ways. One was to make his film, and he got carte blanche. He was told, you know, money's not an object. You can make whatever film you want, and you just do it. But we want access to all the tracking cameras, all the models of the moon you make, all of that, because we will use it for our own purposes. Not only that, but he actually oversaw much of the filming for the fake moon landing. So he designed that. Now, his payoff for all of this was he was told that he could make any other films he wanted. Money would never be a problem, and he would never, ever be prevented unless he started to tell the truth. And he made a number of films in which he began to leak the truth. But he did it in such a way that the elite didn't feel threatened. But then when he made Eyes Wide Shut, the references there were so compelling and so obvious that they decided that he'd broken his contract with them, so they murdered him. They robbed his apartment. They took the film and they put it to their own film editors. They completely changed the editing, altered it, and then released that. So the film that you see now is a travesty. It is not the film that he wished to portray. And that is the truth about him and the truth about what happened. Why would a man who is decently good get involved like that? Because if you are a creator, whether you're a poetry, a painter, a theatre man, or a woman that makes films, you want to create. And if someone comes to you and says, here's a blank check, you can create your art. So he went for it, and he created some most wonderful imagery. The problem was that the people who were paying him were evil, or at least they had their own agenda, and he was always beholden to them because they could blackmail him. You know, he was part and parcel of this. And like many people, towards a latter part of their life, the conscience plays on them, and they have to be truthful. They decide to come out and tell the truth. Some people do it on a deathbed, because they think, well, what does it matter now? But in his case, I think he got to a point where he thought, I just can't go on like this. I've got to tell people how evil and how awful some of these people are that I'm having to meet and do business with. And they just finished him off. And that's what they do. If someone begins to start naming names or giving information, they will attempt to silence that person. So, very good question. Thank you.
So, large black rings of smoke from Mathias are being seen and photographed worldwide and are now making mainstream news. No one seems to have an explanation, but Simon always does. Simon had a smoke man, but this is a smoke ring. What is Simon's take on the mysterious black smoke rings?
Okay, well, there's a great deal of happening at the moment. There are a number of either smoke rings or objects appearing in the sky at the moment. And you can see them on YouTube, and many of them are genuine. They're not tricks. They're genuine footage. But I'm seeing that most commentators are referring to them as Planet X or Nibiru or planets. That's not what they are. They are spacecraft that are circular, like a planet, and are huge, but they're not Nibiru. So there are a number of objects now within our atmosphere which are cloaked. Sometimes they appear as shadows. You could call them smoke, and they will cast a shadow onto the ground, or I don't know, to a river or a lake. If you you don't always see them with your naked eye, but a camera which is more sensitive in some areas than the eye will pick them up. And so there are some things on YouTube which I've looked at, and they are genuinely taking pictures of what I know to be there, but they're not planets. The reason, from a scientific point of view, they're not planets is because if there was a real planet that close, the gravitational effect between the two planets fighting each other would be tremendous, and there would be some real catastrophic actions. We're not seeing planets in our atmosphere. We are seeing spacecraft that are circular. I personally, 1971, when I had a two-day experience, was taken on board a what looks like a planet. It wasn't. It was a hollowed out, it was a spacecraft, but it was just like a ball. Because, you know, when you don't travel in an atmosphere, you don't need wings and fins and a pointy bit at the front and an engine out of the back, because there's no atmosphere, there's no resistance. So, you know, you can have a square or a round ball. The reason that the black triangles that the alien greys and the humans fly are pointed a triangle is because they operate in the atmosphere and outside of the atmosphere. But these orbs that we're seeing, they're not into the atmosphere. The smoke rings, there's a great deal of phenomena now occurring on our planet, and we're going to be seeing more and more of it. Some of it is stuff leaking through from another dimension. Some of it is projections from technology that's being used both by people on the planet and off planet. And it's a bit of a carnival at the moment. There are some people who are very gifted, very psychic, and they're seeing all of these things. And it's literally like going to a circus. You're seeing all these strange things occurring. Other people who aren't so gifted don't see anything, but they feel it maybe. So the smoke rings are just one of many phenomena that we should expect to see over the next 6 months. They're not harmful, and they're not going to harm you or anyone else. It is part of the play out that's now occurring on the planet. But I'm hoping there'll be more pictures on YouTube of these what people are calling planets, but they're not. Smoke rings, crisscross grid, because people are beginning to see the actual armature of the matrix. That all of this reality that we have around us is all hooked on or clipped onto this matrix energetically. People are beginning to see the crisscrossing of it. People are seeing what light shows, sparkling lights, just for a second, or dazzling lights. It's incredibly exciting. It's not to be fearful of. It is the wonder beyond the curtain, you know, and so the curtain is coming down, and you know, we are seeing what's beyond the curtain. So thank you for the question. One more, JP, then I'm going to have to go. Okay.
This is a nice little one. On your show, Simon, from Mizbridge, on your show, you mentioned that we are connected to Source at all times. How does one feel this connection? When we pray, is the universe listening? What type of signs do we look for that we are being heard? Thanks and gratitude from Bridget.
I think it depends when we use the word praying. I think we can open a communication with Source. Don't like the word praying, because for me it's so much religious connotations. But I understand it does have a spiritual connection. I rather think it's better to speak to Source in such a way that you're respectful, but nobody wants you on your knees. You know, I remember as a young boy, an off-planet entity, a mantid that I refer to as Mum, saying to me, "You should never be frightened of us. We are all equal." And that's amazing. You know, you should never be frightened of us. We are all equal. So when the church sort of says that you need to get down on your knees and pray for forgiveness or pray for this or pray for that, that is not a real God. No real loving creational force wants what it has created to get down on its knees. What it might want is those living creatures to give thanks for being created, for having the opportunity to exist in a physical body and experience, learn and grow. So when we communicate with Source, we are giving thanks for the gift of life, but also for the guidance that we want to grow and help within a free will connection. So when I talk about we're connected to Source, what I mean is through your chakra points, through the crown chakra, we are connected at all times to Source. But because energy has to travel through a biological body, there's a delay. So if you have an energy soul, which we all do, if you were to have that out of your physical body, it can receive and give information instantaneously, but we call it superluminal, which means faster than the speed of light. And that's what happens. But when you put something like that into a physical body, there is a delay because that information has to be stepped down. That's what the chakras are. You know, if you are hit with something many times the speed of light, you can't decode it. So the point about the chakras is each chakra works with a particular energy, and that's its job. It will work with that. The trouble is, of course, that chakras can be attacked, and the evil people can attempt to manipulate through the chakras. So it has chakras have a good and not so good value. But we are connected to Source at all times. The opening of the communication, rather than praying, is about you saying, I want to tell you how I feel, or I want to communicate with you. And I shake my head in disbelief when I see people praying that they want to win the lottery, or they want to get lots of money, this, that and the other, and thinking you really don't understand or what it is that you are as a human and the connection that you have. There's nothing wrong in praying for the good health of a fellow human, or wishing that your leaders would make the right decisions for the people, or wishing that people would stop putting money into nuclear weapons. Those are the right things. But to just wish for things that are purely greedy or selfish, you've got to go back to the Middle Ages when people were praying, my God supports me, and the other side that's at war, well, God supports me. So in the First and the Second World War, you have the Germans, the British and the Americans fighting. And each side believes that God supports them. But the church talks about one God. So how can one God support in the Second World War all the different sides? It doesn't make sense. And this is the point that people do not understand. And it's all nonsense. So Source isn't the God of the Bible. Source is the creational force which gave life to all of us, gave life to the planet, and we just should give thanks for that. So it's a really good question, and one that, frankly, we could go on for days, because it's like Source, you can't really fathom it. Thank you, JP. Thank you to all the listeners for being so kind and patient. These things are sent to try us, but we have to overcome them. And, I'm just delighted that I am here to be able to do another, albeit smaller show, but nevertheless to do a show. So God bless to everybody. And thank you, JP. You're a star.
Well, thank you very much, Simon, the star of the show indeed. And, many thanks for, making the effort I know you were late, but everybody will wait. We will wait for you. The world will hold up. So, have a great bath. Enjoy your evening meal, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.